All Things Greek with Eleni Daniels, a radio journal of news and culture with a Hellenic scope, heard alternate Fridays on this station at this time. All Things Greek is dedicated to finding distinctive people, ideas, and stories to share with its vast listening audience. Listener comments, complaints, and cheers are always welcome. You can email us at allthingsgreek@yahoo.com or at cosmosfm@gaiepis.org. The secret islands of Greece are not so secret anymore. It's one destination waiting to happen. Freelance travel journalist and contributing writer to the New York Post travel section, Kevin Robb, will tell us more about that today. He is based in Brazil, grew up in Atlanta, and started his career in entertainment in New York, working for Men's Journal and Rolling Stone, among others. He now divides his time between music and travel, contributing regularly to Travel and Leisure, American Way, Town and Country, Organic Spa, and The Post. In addition to covering destinations and spas extensively, he also dabbles in some food, wine, and nightlife. He's also the co-author of several Lonely Planet travel guides on Brazil, Mexico, Chile, and Easter Island, the Carolinas, Georgia, and the South, Colombia, Lonely Planet's Best in Travel 2010, South America on a Shoestring, and the forthcoming Venezuela, Central America on a Shoestring, and Brazil again. Kevin Robb is traveling the globe with one goal in mind, membership in the Traveler Century Club before the age of 40. His current country count stands at 74. Greece was 72. His recent article posted this week in the New York Post is about Greece's secret islands, Samos, Patmos, and Amorgos. And this was his first trip to Greece this year. And he joins us today from Sao Paulo, Brazil, to tell us all about it. Kevin Robb, welcome to All Things Greek.
Thank you for having me.
Your list of countries visited so far is growing, right? You're at 74. Greece is listed at 72. And I should mention that 73 and 74 includes Turkey. And you mentioned because Turkey has one leg in Europe, another leg in Asia. So it's listed as two. So why did you decide to go to Greece so late in your list?
Greece has always been very high on my list. And I just the opportunity never presented itself. And I had an opportunity to go. I was there. I went to Greece and Turkey together with a small boutique cruise line called Variety Cruises that specializes in smaller ships. And they go to some of these lesser-known Greek islands. So that opportunity presented itself, and both countries were actually high on my list, so I jumped on that.
So you went to Patmos, Amorgos, and you went to Samos. When you first arrived in Greece, what did you think of it?
Well, I always hear sort of negative things about Athens. It's crowded. The traffic is choking and all of these things. And when we arrived in Athens, I was pleasantly surprised by how really nice I thought it was just wandering the streets and into the different neighborhoods and all the tavernas.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit shocking to me in that way. But we arrived the night before the May 20th national strike. So
yeah,
we were a bit apprehensive and the Acropolis was going to be closed. I only had one day in Athens. The Acropolis was going to be closed. So you can imagine, you go all the way to Greece, you don't even get to see the Acropolis. Okay. But it turned out to be a blessing because the streets were empty that day of the protests, and it really felt like we had the whole place to ourselves, and I think that affected my view of the city and how much I loved it.
So you didn't get to see the Acropolis up close, but actually you were very close to the protests that were happening near the parliament. Tell me about that.
We were. We had spent the day walking around. Everything was more or less business as usual, just less people and less traffic on the streets and lots of things closed. Restaurants and everything were open, and I was coming back to the hotel about 3 p.m., and there was a bit of a peaceful sit-in in front of the Parliament building there at Constitution Square, and they were blocking traffic, and it was loud, and we were sort of in the middle of it, and then the police grew a little too tired of the protests and started dragging people right in front of us, which was a little unfortunate, but we did feel like we were thrown into the fire there for a minute.
You have a video posted on your Facebook page. It's called Who Says I Don't Throw Myself in the Fire? We're going to take a listen to that video right now. While this was going on, you were standing right by the police, right?
4 feet away from the police and the protesters and just the crowd and the journalists that had gathered around.
Were you a little concerned about safety?
My wife is a little more concerned than me. You know, in all my 74 countries, I've been to some dicey places,
yeah.
So I'm a little braver probably, and my journalistic background helps with that. But yeah, I mean, it could have gone off in a bad way.
Tell me what started your passion for travel.
Well, if I had to go all the way back, I owe it to my mother. I remember as a child just combing through the photo albums that my mother and father had on their trips through Europe and things like that, and I was just absolutely fascinated. And I always wanted to travel, but I also loved music, so I sort of followed the music path first, working. I was one of the founding employees at RollingStone.com, so we helped get that off the ground, and then I worked in L.A., so I spent a lot of time interviewing rock stars and things, and then I ended up in Northern California, which is very hard to do music from because everything happens in New York and L.A.,
yeah.
And I took the opportunity to sort of transcend over to travel and basically find a way to do all the things that I love and get paid for it. So, you know, I get to go to concerts still, but I get to travel the world. And it's a lot more fun to write about traveling than music.
So, Kevin, do you remember your first article, what that was and where it was published?
My first important article was on a trend in Moscow on brew pubs. They were starting to show up here and there, which was odd because it's traditionally a vodka drinking culture. And I did that for Travel and Leisure. And that sort of got me off the ground because when you write for Travel and Leisure, people pay a little more attention. So That was a big help for me.
You've traveled 74 countries. It runs the scope of U.S., Switzerland, Germany, the Netherlands, Belgium, Great Britain, France, Canada, Wales, Ireland, Leeward Islands, France, St. Martin, and so on. This just goes on and on. I know you get asked this question a lot, but when you look back, you know, through the years of travel, what really stands out? The leg of the journey, arriving, the whole getting there, the being there, the people, the food, what stands out for you? What really makes a difference for you when you travel to these countries? Do you make a connection easily with the people? And do you keep track of the people that you meet all over the world?
Facebook helps with that, doesn't it? Can I say all of the above?
I mean, I guess you can.
An experience, yeah. And for me, it's interesting because I write for a lot of high-end publications, so a lot of my trips are ridiculously high-end. And then I'll turn around and do a Lonely Planet guide where I'm off for 3 months and I'm covering all spectrums of the scale.
And roughing it, yeah.
I'm staying in hostels and lower-end places. So I do the backpacking thing, and then a week later I'll be at a five-star hotel in Moscow. So it's very strange and surreal, and I the blessing that this job is definitely not lost on me.
Yeah, that's really great. So you get to bring your wife along on these trips?
Very rarely. I try to bring her on something once a year, but yeah. Most of the time, especially when you're doing a Lonely Planet guide, it slows you down.
It's a little hard.
It's impossible.
Yeah. All right. So in case you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Kevin Robb. He's a freelance travel journalist and contributing writer to the New York Post travel section. His recent article was published in New York Post, and where he wrote about the secret islands of Greece. So let's talk about them. So you visited Greece. Greece is now number 72 on your list, right, of countries to visit before you turn the age of 40. So how old are you, Rob?
I'm 37.
37. Okay, so you've got 3 years to go.
Clock is ticking, actually.
So what did you go away with when you visited these particular islands that you're writing about?
Well, I guess I should start by saying, you know, it's probably wrong to call these secret islands, but
yeah. They
are off the beaten path, and we sort of framed it that way in the article because basically they're not Santorini and they're not Mykonos. And
they're not the jet-setting islands that we sort of relate Greece with, right? Santorini, like you said.
Absolutely, and they're the most popular, and they're the ones that everyone mm-hmm. wants to go to. And, mm-hmm. and they were fantastic. I don't want to take anything away from Mykonos and Santorini. They're gorgeous. But these just felt a little more authentic to me, and it didn't have the sort of Las Vegas glitz of Santorini, and it didn't have sort of the Italian Gucci sunglass crowd that Mykonos has. Mm-hmm. So they just felt like you were seeing a real Greek island as opposed to one that had been, you know, grown up with the tourism.
Yeah, and you also visited the ancient sites on these islands as well?
We did, yeah.
Yeah. So they were probably not as busy as normal years in the past because tourism in Greece is down. So did you get that sense in Greece that there were less people on the streets? Obviously, you mentioned that in Athens, but what was it like in the islands?
Well, considering it's my first time, I don't really have a scale to compare, but these islands seemed, you know, not very crowded at all. Amorga specifically, I think that the group that I was with were the only tourists there. And that was just great. I mean, I don't know how much the islands have suffered compared to the mainland. I think probably a little less. But you did see things like crisis prices, and people are struggling in Greece, and it's a little unfair because when you go, as long as you're not there on a national strike day, you don't really notice this problem.
I guess people go on their regular daily lives as best they can, but obviously, you know, we do very well know, you know, Greece is in crisis and somewhat on a road to recovery. So the secret islands of Greece, like I said, are not so secret anymore. So again, so Greece is number 72 on your list. You went to Turkey. You're now at up to 74. What are your plans next? Where are you planning to travel?
My next major thing is I leave September 7th for 3 months in India. That's for the next Lonely Planet India. And after that, I don't know. That's my life. You never know. I could go somewhere tomorrow. I just don't know it yet. So
you just don't know yet. So you just make it a call.
I recommend this job for people that are big-time planners.
Yeah, exactly. So 3 months in India. This is for Lonely Planet, right? And so what exactly happens when you go on these trips with Lonely Planet? Do you get assigned specific itinerary, or do you make it up your own?
You are assigned a specific region, and you use the last guide as sort of your template for that region.
Okay, got it.
From there, you try to discover new things, and things have closed, things have changed, new things have been. So it's very daunting, actually. People think it's a dream job, but it is hard work as well.
All right, well, you've got 3 more years to reach 100 countries, right? That's your goal. Do you ever get tired and say, well, you know, I'm going to give up or something like that?
Oh, no. I like to eat, so at my table. No, I don't get tired. To be honest, if I'm home longer than about 8 weeks, I get very restless, and I need to get out. So I think it's just part of my blood.
So Kevin Robb is speaking with us from Sao Paulo, Brazil, where he is based. He's a freelance travel journalist and contributing writer to the New York Post Travel Section, among other magazines, and Lonely Planet. And his most recent article is called The Secret Islands of Greece. They were posted this week on New York Post. Like you said, he's off to India on September 7th for another stint with the Lonely Planet. And for more information on Kevin Robb, you can reach him at kevinrobb.net. That's Kevin Robb, RAUB.net. So, Kevin, thank you so much for talking with us tonight. We're looking forward to some of your travel experiences because we want your life. We really do. You're pretty lucky.
Well, thank you for having me. My only suggestion there is you might not want my salary. You don't want my life.
Kevin, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That was globetrotting freelance journalist and contributing writer to the New York Post Travel Section, Kevin Robb. You can read his recent article at newyorkpost.com/p/lifestyle/travel/the secret islands of Greece. More information on Kevin is at kevinrobb.net. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be speaking with Philadelphia-based Aliza Green. She's a cookbook author, chef, and mestiza lover. We're going to talk about the mystique of Chios's mestiza and her book, Field Guide to Herbs and Spices. She also has an upcoming Greek and Turkish culinary tour called Fragrant Fields and Turkish Delights, Exploring Aegean and Ottoman Cuisines. That's in October 2010. My conversation with Aliza Green is coming up in just a few minutes. Stay with us. You're listening to All Things Greek with Eleni Daniels on Hellenic Public Radio. We'll be right back.